Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team.
Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your co-host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by cardboard cutout Aaron and his pet monkey, let's call him Steve. On the podcast today, we're going to talk about running a tech demo and going a little bit deeper into that process. So how to be effective as an account exec when you're moving into free trials, technical evaluations, and things like that. And so for this conversation, we've got my friend Matt Castle. He's an account exec over at Chartio. And did I get that right, Matt? Chartio?
You did. Account executive at Chartio. That's right.
Perfect. So welcome to the show, Matt. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate taking the time and having me on.
Great. So walk me through why should somebody care about paying attention to, you know, we're going to talk for 35 minutes here. Why should somebody care about, you know, what we're about to talk about? Why is this important?
Yeah. So I'd say it's very important for a salesperson to, I guess, be very cognizant of what you need to do on a tech demo, especially in, you know, a very technical sales process with a sales engineer doing a lot of work, you know, to be consistently adding value throughout the entire process and also making sure that your sales engineer has a very good experience selling with you so that you're more effective too.
Gotcha. So when we start to think about how to run a good tech demo as an account exec, where does that start?
Yeah. So as far as the way the Chartio's process works, the account executives are doing their own discovery. So maybe at some organizations, you might have information coming from an SDR, which you then do maybe some more discovery on top of.
Maybe actually just walk us through the process here. So someone comes in cold, they're an inbound. Do you have an inbound person set up a meeting? Like let's start at the very beginning.
Yeah, so the very beginning, we actually don't. So it's the account executives who are setting up their own meetings.
Okay.
From there, you know, typically I just get people straight onto a product overview. We also have an open free trial, so people can come and sign up for the trial and then come back and talk to us after. From there, you know, I'll do a little bit of discovery on that call, figure out what's relevant to them, what's important to them, what, you know, I can show them today. So a question my VP really likes is like, what are the top three things, you know, we can cover today? Mm-hmm. Once we get that, you know, it's kind of enough for us to go into a product overview. And then I try to do more qualification and discovery if what they're looking for aligns with what we offer during that product overview, so that I'm not just pointing out a bunch of features, you know, something we can maybe get into a bit more later, but really just kind of figuring out high level what's important to them, covering it on the technical overview, and mapping it to other customers that I've worked with before. If it's something we can do, it makes sense to continue talking to them. If, you know, they come in for three things that like Chartio is just not going to be able to do, you know, we can kick them out pretty fast, which is good.
Saves your time, saves their time.
Yeah, I had a VP who always said, there's two winners in every deal, the person who wins and the person who walks away first. So I like that phrase.
That's awesome. I'm going to steal that. Thank you for your, yeah, your old VP.
Yeah.
So I know it's like, I've seen lots of demos where it's so easy, and I've given lots of demos myself, where it's just so easy to jump into, here's the grand tour. Right. Let me show you absolutely everything. Let me tell you about all the features, all the benefits. How do you avoid, you know, that running into that?
So that's obviously like a big challenge. And, you know, of course, I think every salesperson's just gone to a call where someone's like, yeah, just show me your products. And it's like, yeah. Oh no, like, what do I do? And then you just go through everything. And it's like, you know, we're in a very crowded space. For other people who are in very crowded spaces, if you feature dump, they're going to have no point of differentiation. It's all going to seem the same. It's just kind of overwhelming. Like as a buyer, you know, the technology that we sell, and I'm sure a lot of other people who sell a very technical product, there's a lot that kind of goes into it that can be very, it all blends together. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as far as like avoiding that, I think one of the biggest things is maybe trying to extract the core requirements out of them, even if they don't exactly know what those are. So like sometimes people will be like, oh, show me everything. They just aren't saying anything until you show them the product. Sometimes I'll just show them a couple things like, hey, is this like what you want to see today? Do you want to see more like this? And kind of working that discovery in the demo and kind of working it together, I think, especially for technical buyers who might not like salespeople that much, that approach tends to work a little bit better for them because it's like, it's more tailored to them and then we can tailor on the fly, which can be really kind of helpful in like extracting the high level, what they want to see, even if they don't always know what that is kind of going into it.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point. It's like this is really why the key reason why machines are never going to replace salespeople is, you know, if you're just doing these feature dumps, you're no better than the website. But if you're having the conversation up front to really identify the things that they don't know to ask, right? Because you're such a product expert, and then showing them those things and answering questions that they didn't know they had, I think that's where the real value is. And you can't build that into a form of saying, hey, what are your pain points? All right, let me show you the pieces of the product. I know there's some really cool tools out there that do stuff like that. But you know, and those are probably really good fits for, you know, a higher velocity sale, but we're getting into a really technical sale. You know, I think this is really where the salesperson, the role of the salesperson gets to shine.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Especially, you know, as actually just saw something on LinkedIn today, like as the sales process increases in complexity, the need for a person driving it increases more. Someone posted something about that. I'll try to find it later. But, you know, it's very true.
Show notes later. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things like in the sales process where, if it's very complex, you know, there's 100 options out there navigating that. You know, for us, there's so many pitfalls people can go down when evaluating a business intelligence product. There's just so many different routes that it can go down. Can't even imagine, like, it's hard enough for a person to manage. You know, person plus machine might have a better chance, but a machine on itself, there's no way that, you know, the sales process is going to like align perfectly with like every process is a little bit different for every single customer.
For sure. Yeah, if you're just selling reams of paper, it's probably fine. But yeah, Once you get into anything more complex, it's gonna be different.
Yep.
So let's talk about your process then. So you mentioned so it sounds like you get an inbound lead something from an SDR, and then they're booking, either the SDR is booking the discovery call or they're making the intro, or the inbound lead's coming to you and you're booking the discovery call. Is that where it starts?
Yeah. So I tend to call discovery calls, I call them demos, because I tend to do that like blended together into one step. So we don't break it up quite as much as maybe some other companies do. But like it just kind of happens in like one meeting where we're just kind of knocking it all out. And then a lot of the discovery that I do, it tends to be within the product. So a person might be, you know, shopping. So in the business intelligence space, they might be looking at, you know, a couple other companies. They might have like a certain list of requirements. And, you know, we can come into and we can talk to them like, oh, you're looking for sales analytics. Okay, we do that. But maybe there's something in their like use case that's very narrow, very specific to them. It's something that maybe it's not a good fit for what we offer. That's one of those things that's going to be hard to discover if we were to just talk about it like this without jumping into the product, getting, you know, maybe their database connected and figuring it out. Mm-hmm. So I tend to try to get through those steps in the process maybe a little bit faster than other companies or, you know, other, you know, there's other ways of doing these things. But for us, that tends to work a little bit better just because when you're dealing with data, it can be very messy. And it's a certain type of messiness that you're just not going to be able to qualify out until someone's actually testing it against their live data. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I tend to move through some of those steps maybe faster than other people at other companies.
Not everybody can sit there and imagine the schema or data model in their head and say, this is exactly how I want this product to work.
Exactly.
Right. You're selling business intelligence tools, dashboarding. That's fair to say.
Yes.
Fair summary. Doesn't at all sell the value, but we're not here to like sell this to. Okay. So you're doing a bit of a combined discovery and demo. So the first part's the discovery. What are you trying to cover in there? What are you trying to establish?
Yeah. So it's really kind of understanding, you know, if it's a good fit for us, and understanding what they want to see in that call. So
what do you mean by a good fit for us?
So is it a use case that Chartio can be successful at? And you know, on their side, it's like, what are their key requirements that we can help with? and where can we add value? So if it's some very, you know, use case that we're not going to add a lot of value, we can just kind of qualify it out.
How do you walk away from those deals? Because I think, I know Jason Lemkin talks about selling churn, I think is the term he uses. How do you walk away? Because it's so hard. You've done, you know, you've got this lead here. It could be a piece of commission for you. How do you, you know, just walk away from that?
Yeah, so I think it depends on the company. I think with where Chartie is at, we're, I'll sell the company too much, right? But we're like sustainable, we're profitable. So for us, taking on a company that's not going to grow with us and not going to be a good fit for us, like, is not helpful as an organization. It just creates nightmares for the, you know, customer success team, creates nightmares for the product team. Maybe like these people are requesting a bunch of features that we're just not going to do because it's not what we're focused on. And at the same time too, you know, we're in a competitive space. They have options. So if Chartie is not the right fit, you know, we're on our team, we're happy to tell them like, hey, listen, like, that's not us. There's other companies, and we'll even point them in the right direction sometimes. So that's how we operate. I can't say that every other company would do that, but works for us.
Great. So we've got through the discovery part of your initial demo. Mm-hmm. You've determined that, hey, this is a use case that, you know, that we can really knock it out of the park. We're not just selling churn. The customer's interested. Walk me through what does your demo look like? I mean, not visually, but like structurally.
Yeah. So I actually like to give people two paths to go down. So if they're a more technical buyer, I ask them like, hey, would you like me to start with the connecting data sources, kind of the more technical component of it, and then get into chart building and then dashboarding, which for a lot of technical people is kind of an afterthought in some ways. You know, they're so focused on like, oh my God, how am I going to get this thing to connect to my data sources and get that working? And like, they can't even think about the finished product yet. So that's one of the options. The other option is like, if they're more of like a business person, I tend to start with the dashboarding, maybe get into some chart building. I don't really touch the data sources too much, mm-hmm. but I ask them like, hey, what would you like to see? Like, these are typically the ways that we go about this. What aligns most with like what you're looking to get out of this call today? That works pretty well. And I guess the third option is just totally ad hoc. If someone's like, hey, I have a list of like 10 questions, show me, I'll do that too. Mm-hmm. And those people are great because they already know what they want to see. And it's like, okay, yeah, we have this. Okay, yeah, we have this. And this is how like this part of the product is better than, you know, maybe other things out there.
You're probably looking at competitor X and, you know, this is how we shine. It's great when they're that prepared.
Yeah. And a lot of, you know, business intelligence has been around for 40 years. So there's always some sort of level of comparing and contrasting. But if the person has already like evaluated or used other products before in the past, it allows us on the sales team to go like, okay, like you've used this before. This is our take on it. This is how it's different. This is how it's better. Mm-hmm. So that's typically, I guess, did that answer your question around like, you know, what the process looks like? Happy to dive deeper on any one of those points. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. It gives me a sense for sort of how you're personalizing this based on the persona a little bit, right? With the technical buyer, you're going to front load some of the technical because you're trying to, I think what you're thinking is like, you're thinking is, you know, let's answer the top 3 to 5 questions that's on this person's mind. And with the technical buyer, it's usually, will it work? Will it work? Will it work? And in question 17 is probably like, will it actually display the data in a human readable form?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Cool. And then vice versa with more of a sales persona, you're going to flip that around. You're going to show them, you know, this is what your data looks like. And then you'll worry about the technical implementation later because you're assuming that they're going to have somebody on the back end that's probably going to be doing that anyway. So you're not wasting your time by talking about, here's all the data sources that we connect to.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. So they'll have a resource to like connect it for them. Mm-hmm. But you know, like if I'm demoing to the CEO of a company, they don't need to get into like the specific nuances of like how we model the data. It doesn't matter to them. They just want to see like the end result, what it's going to mean for their company. And then the technical evaluator who's probably doing the work on behalf of someone else, you know, we'll get into that with them. But the CEO, we can keep it high level because it just doesn't, the little nitty gritty doesn't matter too much to them.
That's fair. So talk to me about some things that you've maybe screwed up on the demos or maybe you've seen screwed up when you've been on a demo.
Yeah, I mean, I've given a lot of demos at this point. I've messed up a lot of things, and even a great demo, you still might make a mistakes here or there. I think one of the biggest ones is just talking too much. And I think that's the thing that I know a lot of salespeople struggle with. I know it's something that I struggle with. It's, you know, how do you get people to increase their talk time while giving a technical product overview? You know, as you're working through it, it can be really, you know, if you're not video conferencing or anything like that, it can be very hard to understand what's going on the other end. So one of the biggest things that I like to do is just try to get a sense of like how they're feeling, maybe ask some sort of question, and then just put it on mute and just let them fill the silence for a little bit. You know, but I think that's maybe like one of the big things that I try to focus on is like, how can I make the person on the other end of the line, you know, talk as much as possible so that I can better understand like what to actually show them.
Totally. And sort of poking and prodding and encouraging them to carry on instead of just jumping in with the automatic response.
Yeah, exactly. And to that point too, it's like, if you're showing someone feature after feature after feature, it's just not a good experience for them. And
yeah, brands just,
you know, they'll just shut down. Yeah. So trying to do as much as possible to figure out what is actually important to them. And then like, once you land on one of those things, focusing on it. So something for us, you know, there's a lot of things in the demo environment that are pretty cool, but at the start of the call, the person might have no clue what they actually want to see. So, you know, sometimes they'll ask like, oh, what do you want to see today? It's like, oh, I'll show me the product. And they're like, okay, like that's not helpful. It gives me nothing to go on, but maybe you land on something over the course of the demo. They're like, oh, that's really cool. And then you can use that to like really kind of focus in like, oh, why is that cool to you? Like, what does that mean? Like, you know, what are you trying to achieve with this? That kind of stuff. And questions that they might not be willing to answer in the beginning, or like just maybe they don't know the answers in the beginning, but once they can start tying it together, you can then dive deeper into that point. To better understand, you know, what's going on with them.
That's fair. Because it's almost like, you know, if you could do anything in the world, if you could play any sport in the world, or if you could watch any movie in the world, you know, what would you do? Such a broad, like wide open question. But if I asked you, you know, like, what's your favorite ice sport? You're like, oh, obviously it's ice dancing, you know. Clearly, I'm a huge Olympics fan, right? So you, when you narrow it, like when you're narrowing it down, and that's a silly example, but when you sort of narrow it down and say, okay, what you're saying is partway through the demo, you're still doing this discovery, even though you've gone into the demo portion. You're not just like pressing play and like, okay, I'm on autopilot.
Exactly. And the business intelligence space is so broad. So I think that's another thing, maybe just to bring it out of BI for a second. But you know, when you're selling something pretty technical, there's maybe, at least in our case, and I'm sure a lot of other products, just so many different applications that it could be used for that it's maybe hard to like narrow that down to your specific use case that you're trying to get out of it. So with business intelligence, like, okay, company-wide analytics, trying to figure out like, okay, well, like what does my product team need? What does my marketing team need? If you're at the very beginning of that process, it's like an overwhelming amount of questions. And you know, it's hard to get a sense of like exactly what that means, but, as you're working through it, they can start seeing like, oh, this specific feature will allow my marketing person to do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Therefore taking, you know, work that I had to previously do and putting it back onto them. And they can start like putting those pieces together and better understanding that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, in the technical kind of sales process, you know, there's just so much that could be done. There's so many things that could happen. You know, there's just so many options. And it's, you know, to your point, it's like you have to start narrowing that down. I think once you narrow it down more throughout the course of like the demo, at least what I do, and that allows me to better understand what I'm talking to. I can focus more on those things. I can understand like what's important to them. I can see in real time and like optimize for that.
Mm. Okay. So if we're talking about some things to sort of try and avoid in your next demo, number one, avoid the bus tour. You know, number two, don't forget to sort of differentiate when you find those pieces that really excite them. Number three, don't just check out and sort of pay attention to when their eyes light up, and then drill in and switch back into discovery mode. Is that fair? Fair summary?
That's a great summary, yes.
Perfect. So what are some things, let's flip this to the positive side. What are some things that make demos just absolutely amazing?
Yeah, I think when you can get really good alignment with what they want to see and what you're showing them. And you know, sometimes that can happen just at the beginning of the call. They're like, hey, like, you know, for us, because there's an open trial, like, hey, I was poking around your product. I think, you know, if they're saying like, hey, like, I want to see how you connect to this, like what an example dashboard could look like. And, you know, you just have that perfect alignment. And you can show them exactly what they want to see and answer all their questions. And it's kind of like a two-way street. So I think keeping the product demo as conversational as possible and getting kind of that engagement back tends to lead itself to the best overviews, best demos. It can sometimes be difficult to do that. It's definitely not every call, but I think that's kind of the thing to strive towards and the thing to really try to make your demos if you can, or like the goal to have for any demo.
Gotcha. And now you're an account exec. Talk to me a little bit about your role within the demo process, right? Is this you running the show, or do you have a sales engineer coming in and you guys are tag teaming this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of other companies in the space, they'll have a salesperson or sales engineer running their demo. We're kind of unique in the sense that account executives are giving their own technical product overviews. For me, where the sales engineer comes in is like the next step after a demo, which is usually what we call a technical working session, where, you know, it'll be myself and then my sales engineer. I work with my sales engineer's name's Joe. I work with Joe a lot. And, you know, it'll be Joe and I on the same call, and, you know, I'll try to add the business value and Joe will be answering the technical questions. But for the most part, the demo itself is run by the account executive.
Gotcha. Okay. So now that we've let's pivot into the technical evaluations, sure, or the technical working session here. Talk to me about how, like, you and Joe obviously have a pretty good relationship, right? You seem pretty confident in your demos. You know, you guys have a pretty good rapport. You've got some great results behind you. What is it that makes your relationship with Joe, with your, you know, technical and your sales engineer special? Like, what's the magic that helps you guys work together so well?
Yeah. So I think, some of the stuff you just have to learn after working with someone for a long time. So, you know, Joe and I have been working together for a couple of years. So like we sold a lot of deals together. We've worked a lot together. I think one of the biggest things just in general that account executives tend to do, or the pitfalls that maybe they fall into, is one, interrupting the sales engineer unnecessarily. I've done that with sales engineers that I've worked with and hate that. That's like the worst thing you can do. You know, if you're interrupting without adding any value whatsoever, you know, if you've checked out in the sales process and then someone says something, you just kind of chime in without thinking, that doesn't go over very well. From, you know, what I've seen, what I've done before sometimes happens. I think having very clearly defined roles and expectations around like what each person is supposed to answer and having a lot of alignment there goes a long way. So figuring out how much the sales engineer should be positioning, at what point should it like push back to the account executive to like chime in and be like, okay, well, this is like the social proof, you know, and those types of things that like, I don't think the sales engineer should necessarily have to get into. It should be, you know, it's kind of where the account executive can add the value on one of those calls. And then, you know, it's not just starting the meeting, turning it over, and then coming back at the end to set up next steps.
Yeah. I'll be back in 45 to collect my commission check.
Thanks, yep, guys. Yeah, exactly. So, as far as where I think the salesperson can add value on those calls, it's like, so one of the best part or one of the biggest places they can add value is knowing when not to speak, but also navigating the conversation in a way that's like beneficial for the sales engineer. So if, you know, you're getting down to like these, technical rabbit holes, you know, maybe there's a bunch of people on the line who, don't need to get into that. I think it's kind of the role of salesperson, you know, to maybe take things offline, you know, be the person who calls that out and like, hey, listen, this is a great like thing that we do need to discuss, but it's not like a good use of everyone's time today on this call right now. And we can take that offline. We can connect you with Joe and like, you guys can hash it out offline. I think, you know, there's certain paths that you can go down that just aren't beneficial, you know? So it's like, I think the example I like had the other day was, you know, someone wanted to list out every single possible metric that they had coming in from their database. And they wanted to go through every single one. And there was like 10 people on the other line. Mm-hmm. And only one of those people is technical and the rest was a group of business users. And the technical person was kind of co-opting this session to ask all their technical questions. And I just was like, listen, we can do this, but we'll take that. That's a you and Joe conversation. That's not a you and everybody else conversation. Yeah. And I don't think that's the role of like the sales engineer to do that, right? It's the role of the salesperson to like drive the sales process and make sure that things are aligning how they should be. People's time is used appropriately. The sales engineer's time is used appropriately as well. I think that's another huge thing, is not promising a bunch of free work for a company who might not even like move forward with you. So
that, I mean, that's gotta be a challenge, right? Like I've been in this, you know, not in selling software, but in, you know, selling in previous sales roles where I was outside the industry, and like you get those customers that just want you to basically do all the work for them. And you can feel it that they're probably not going to buy, but you hold out that hope in your heart that, oh, you know, maybe they might just close, and maybe. How do you avoid going down the rabbit hole of like doing all this free work as part of a technical evaluation?
You know, it's really tough. And there's definitely been calls where I've screwed up and been wrong about people, like, oh, they're for sure going to buy. And I was not right. I think that's one of the,
whoa, you've been wrong about that?
No, can you believe it?
that's blowing my mind right now.
Yeah. No. You know, I think it's one of those things, you have to be in it for a little bit to maybe understand. It's kind of a fingertip feel, like who is actually going to purchase. I think one of the things is the questions that they're asking back to you. Sometimes people will be looking at us, and this is crazy, but they'll use Chartio's interface to then take the SQL out and put it into another product that's like open source. So they'll use us.
No way.
To like create their environment and then, you know, like set up something like open source after they've used us to build everything out. So there's like crazy things that happen like that. So it's sometimes you can gather that though from the questions they're asking. It's like, okay, like you're asking me this. Why are you asking me this? Like, what are you trying to do with this? And, you know, just kind of diving deeper. And it's like, for us, we're very resource constrained. We're a startup. So is it like, is this something that I need to get Joe on the line for an hour for, or is this something that like we wrote an article about it that I can send you? And like, maybe that article is like, it's not exact, like it's definitely not the same as an hour with Joe, but yeah. If you're a serious buyer, it'll take you most of the way there. And then like, we can maybe take some things offline. So
it's almost like you're the defender of Joe's time.
I am. I like that. I'm going to tell him that.
Yeah. Get a t-shirt made.
Just like, yeah.
So some missed opportunities we're talking about in the technical evaluations from the perspective of an account exec. It's offloading too much to the sales engineer and just checking out, you know, missing those opportunities to share that social proof, right? Because really that's your role is, you know, you're not necessarily going to know all the technical questions. I mean, maybe you know, I get the sense you know a bit more than most because you've been doing this for a while. But layering in, knowing when to speak up and when not to speak up, layering in that social proof, you know, adding in, oh, you know, and, you know, X customer really liked this piece and here's why that's unique, and sort of using those opportunities where you're like deep into it to really show the value of your product. And that really helps you sort of differentiate even when you're on this sort of deeply technical demo. And then second last thing was making sure you're not going down a technical rabbit hole. And then just at the end of the day, being that sort of protector, the guardian of Joe's time, you know, to make sure that, you know, one, so the conversation is going in a productive direction from a sales perspective. And it's also not going, you're not wasting, you know, 10 people's time because you got one super keen, you know, person with a million questions that maybe him and Joe can handle it one-on-one, or maybe you could send them a document that would answer 98% of the questions and you could jump back on a call with him, you know, a couple of days later and answer the other 5 minutes.
Exactly.
So we've gotten through the free trial. We've gotten through the, like a technical working session. Last thing I want to talk about, we got a couple minutes left here, is setting next steps. I personally haven't sold in an environment where you're working on a free trial. Be kind of hard to do in, you know, in the diesel generator space. you can have power for 15 minutes, but after that, it's going to shut off unless you give me a bunch of money. I don't see that working out super well.
Yeah.
The part of me really wants to try it. So in these like technical sessions, and I imagine it's not just, you know, a two call close, I imagine there's multiple of them. Let's talk about, how do you make sure that you're setting the appropriate next steps in each of these?
Yeah. So that's definitely a challenge. you know, is what we were talking about earlier, right? Like free work. It's like, at what point does the technical working session flip into just us doing everything when we can't really be doing everything? You know, so like, is the next step not setting, you know, another technical working session? It's more just setting like a sales driven check-in call for like 10 minutes to see how things have been progressing. Because for us, and which is maybe a little bit different than other companies, but you know, a lot of what we do is like self-service. I hate to use the word self-service, but it's kind of like, because there is a lot of service involved, but at the same time, it's like, if they can't use the product without us there, they're not going to be successful on it.
Well, then you're not a software product, right?
Right.
Then you're a managed service or technical right. service or whatever.
So for us, it's like, it can sometimes be a challenge to get people to do some of the work that they need to do without us on the other end of the line, like pushing them through. For some deals, you know, if the dollar size is the right amount, we'll do that to just get them more comfortable on it. You know, sometimes it's a change in workflow. There's a lot of process there that can be really kind of tough to learn again. At the same time, you know, if it's kind of a smaller company, a smaller deal, we could handhold them, but it doesn't really make sense for us to do that. As I said, we're a startup or resource constrained. So if it's one of those companies, the next step might be after a working session, if we need to do one, just setting up like a check-in call, pricing call, something like that, for, you know, maybe towards the end of the trial. If it's a more of like a real deal, something that like we really do need to get involved in work, then maybe, you know, we offer up a bunch of Joe's time, set up another working session, book it with them right on the call, send over the invites to everybody. And then, you know, depending on the deal and who we're working with, if it's a technical evaluator, but a business buyer, and they're kind of separate portions of it, setting up a call with the business teams or whoever might be necessary to close out the deal while still concurrently doing the technical working sessions with the technical team.
Okay. So you're sort of multi-threading things.
Yeah, if we need to.
Gotcha.
So
when you're offering those, like saying, hey, you know, this is a bigger deal, you know, I will offer you some of Joe's time. Sorry, Joe. I'm going to pimp you out a little bit here. What kind of commitment are you trying to, or are you asking for any commitment from them? From the customer in these cases?
It depends. So it depends where they're at, right? So if they're maybe new to business intelligence and it's something that's still maybe a little bit more of a struggle with them, it's hard to get them to like, hey, well, you're gonna need to build up these 10x things by the next call. And that's not really realistic for like that type of buyer. In which case the next call with Joe will be him like walking them through like, okay, well, this is how you do it and trying to get them like, it's almost more of like a training sometimes to get comfortable with the solution and also like more comfortable with their own data. If they're pretty tech savvy and they, you know, they know what they want to see, you know, there might be work that Joe gives them, like homework that Joe gives them, like, okay, well, hey, you need to set these things up in your database in order for this next call to make sense. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, like I have no problem if they didn't do that on that next call, shutting the meeting down, setting it up for another time, and giving everyone some time back to their day.
Okay. So if they're not doing the work and putting in the time, then you're just like, you'll push it out to the next call.
Yeah. And then give them a couple more days to do that.
Cool.
So, you know, I'll give them a little bit more time in their trial as well. Cause we're not mean, but, it's more like if, you know, I was on a call earlier this week and they were supposed to get their database connected. They didn't get their database connected. There's no point in having a couple people on the line watching someone ping their DevOps person on Slack to connect a database. You know, it's just not a productive use of people's time. So something like that happens, shut it down, set up another call though, of course, you know, for some time in the future, maybe the following week, to give them time to do that and get going.
Perfect. And so again, it comes back to, you are Matt, defender of Joe's time. Castle. I love it.
Like that.
We're going to have to get t-shirts made. Matt, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been super informative. I hadn't thought about, you know, a lot of the different things and the nuances of doing a technical demo. And I want to thank you for sharing.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Colin. Really appreciate it.
For anybody that wants to, you mentioned a link that I'll get that from you. We'll pop it into the show notes. But for anybody that wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Yeah, add me on LinkedIn. That's probably the best way. Matt Castle. I think it's actually my LinkedIn name, but I can put that in the show notes, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So yeah, that's probably the social network I'm most active on other than MySpace.
Awesome. Friends,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm still big on friends there. I got the most friends. That's how they measure it. But yeah, we're digressing.
We are. All right.
I want to thank you again for coming on the show. Everybody who's listening, watching, walking, working, wherever you are, thanks for joining us. Just remember, if you're listening, check us out on YouTube. We've got all of these recordings with video. So if we're doing any screen shares, or if there's any links that we're showing, you'll be able to check them out there. You can also hit subscribe. That helps us grow the audience, really helps us make more great videos like this, and find more great people like Matt to come on the show. If you do happen to know somebody that you want to hear on the show, whether they're a friend of yours or just a thought leader that you'd love to, you know, have us ask some questions and get some information out of, I'd love it if you hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm at LinkedIn/Colin Stewart, Colin with two L's, STEWART. Shoot me a message there, connect with me, or just, yeah, I think that's probably the best way. But I want to thank you all for listening, and see you next time.
Thanks, Colin.